Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to the 34th episode of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and I'm here today to talk to you about internal controls and accounts payable, and specifically as they relate to your people, your employees. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. During the last few weeks, I've given a number of talks, probably half a dozen or so, on internal controls and accounts payable. Now, I find these very interesting, and most of the reason that I find these interesting is not because I've got such great information, although I hope the audience does get a tip or two from them, but because of the interaction with the audience and the episodes and thoughts that the audience shares. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, she finds internal controls really interesting. She needs to get a life. But I don't agree. So I want to start, and I want to talk about internal controls and accounts payable, but specifically as they relate to your employees. And the reason that I want to talk about this is that this is an area that many people or many organizations kind of gloss over. Nobody likes to think that their employees would steal from them. And in most cases, they're right. But there are a number of instances, documented instances, where this is proved not to be true. And that's why I want to go over the internal controls relating to your people. Because what I hear when people, you know, write in the comment field or come up and talk to me after a live event is that, we don't really think this is necessary in our organization. Or, John or Jane, they've been with us forever and they would never steal from us. And the fact of the matter is, what the statistics show is that when there is an internal fraud, unfortunately, most of the time it is committed, when it's committed by an employee, it's a long-term trusted employee, not someone who's been with you for 3 weeks. So to kick this off, what I did is I got on the internet and I wanted to see if I could find some stories to make my point instead of just me, you know, theorizing. And so it was not hard. I put in the words fraud, employee, and up popped a whole bunch of stories. And I'm going to read you the headlines real quickly from a few of them. And these, by the way, were all on the first page of my search. I didn't have to go, you know, digging page after page. You know how that goes sometimes. So former HR director pleads guilty to embezzling $1.8 million. Salvation Army employee accused of using payroll scheme to embezzle $200,000. Cuyahoga County employee accused of embezzling $169,000. Former Norwich Chamber employee charged with embezzling $55,000 from the group. Former Coca-Cola employee charged with embezzling thousands of dollars in wire fraud scheme. So you can see all different types of companies across the board. And this, by the way, took me about 5 minutes to find, possibly even less. So what I hope is that I've convinced you that this is an issue, and I want to talk about where we sometimes fall down on the issue. So the first thing that I want to talk about is ERP access, and ERP access for your employees when they either have been promoted or when there's a termination. And by termination, I mean somebody leaves the company. They may have gotten a great new job elsewhere, or you may have invited them to leave. Whichever, it doesn't matter. And the same techniques that I'm going to talk about, it's just one actually, has to do also with promotions. So when somebody's promoted and they get a job in another part of the organization, what you should be doing is closing off their access to the ERP system, to your ERP system, for their old jobs. Organizations that promote from within, and I hope you do because I think it's a great practice, sometimes forget this. And then what happens is you have an employee who's got access to your ERP system in many different areas. And in effect, your appropriate segregation of duties is gone because it's no longer there, because this person has access to a third, a half, whatever, of your ERP system. So what companies should be doing is not only cutting off the access when someone's promoted or when they leave the company, but also once a year or once a quarter, whatever you think is appropriate, running a report that shows each employee and what access they have to your ERP system. I know some companies who didn't focus on this, and then the first time they went and looked at it and they ran this report, they found people who had access to half the ERP system. How do you know if you have this problem? I'll tell you a little story, and this was, again, I was on the wrong side of this. If you, we and one of my past lives, we had hired someone from another department. His name was Patrick. And then whenever we needed a report that we normally would have gone to that other department for, instead of bothering them and, you know, having to get at the bottom of their to-do list, Patrick would just get on, log into the ERP, and pull the numbers that we needed. Now, that was great for us, but really it was awful when it came to appropriate segregation of duties. So if you can do that, that's one of the ways that you'll know that you've got that problem. What we find when we look at the statistics is about, 3/4 of the companies actually have a protocol or have a policy that says that they'll cut the access off, but only about half of them actually do it. Sometimes it falls in the wayside. There's too many other things going on. So run that report once a year to show promotions and terminations. Now, sometimes people say, well, why terminations? What does that have to do with anything? Two things. Number one, the employee may not be happy with the company. They may be harboring bad feelings. They may have felt they were passed over for a promotion. Who knows what? You never really know what people are thinking. And if your people can get on remotely, you don't want them getting on at home and playing mischief with your ERP system. The other thing is that not only is promoting from within a good policy, many organizations will also rehire a former employee. I know I worked for one of the companies I worked for, they hired me twice. So you don't want to get involved with that, with rehiring somebody and not realizing that they still have that old access. Okay, along the same lines, again, people who are promoted or people who are terminated, if they have a company credit card, and this can be a travel card, a P card, procurement card, fuel card, whatever the card is, and they are no longer going to need it, which they definitely are no longer going to need it if they're leaving the company, you want to get the card back. Most companies are pretty good about that, but that's not the important step. The important step with this is that you get the card back. Actually, it doesn't matter whether you get the card back. What matters is you immediately call the bank and cancel the card. So this way, the employee, devious employee who gives you the card back, but then has written down the credit card number, the expiration date, and the 3 or 4 digit CVC code, can still get online and go shopping to their heart's content. And unfortunately, I hate to tell you this, this has happened more times than we'd like to admit. And then the company is stuck with trying to go after the employee and get that money back. Sometimes they're successful, but oftentimes they're not. So cancel the card with the bank, and this way, if they try and play that game, what will happen to them is the card will be rejected, okay? And no harm, no foul. You'll never even know about it, which should be fine. Okay, I'm going to now, we're going to take a break to have a brief message from our sponsor, and then we're going to go on and talk about some more things that you should be doing, hopefully you are doing, but we know some companies aren't doing. All righty. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communication between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. Alrighty, so let's move on and let's talk about employees who will sometimes set up phony vendors in your master vendor file for the purpose of defrauding you. Now, I was giving a talk one time in a live setting, and I was talking about what I'm about to tell you to do. And somebody in the front row, a woman in the front row, raised her hand, and she said, we do this, she said, and we caught 2 employees trying to set up phony vendors over 6 years. Now, that might not seem like that much to you, but if those people were able to set up the phony vendor and then defraud the company for millions of dollars, you know what? It's worth taking this little extra step that I'm going to tell you about. So as part of your new vendor setup, what you want to do is you want to take the information about your new vendor and take the address and compare that address against the addresses in your HR file. And if you have a match, investigate. Don't assume you have a fraud, because you will get some false positives. There'll be sometimes that there's a match, and then you know what? When you investigate it, it's okay. You don't want to accuse anyone of fraud unless you're 100% correct, because you'll never put that genie in the bottle if you're wrong. And if you are right, then you need to get the appropriate HR people involved before you encounter the person. Okay, so when you set the vendor up, and to begin with, compare the address against employee addresses in the HR file. Then, once a year, once every 6 months, but once a year probably is enough, you want to take the employees' addresses that you have in the HR file and run them against the addresses in your master vendor file for your vendors. Any matches, again, you want to research. Okay, this doesn't take long to do. It's relatively easy to do in Excel using conditional formatting. And there's no reason that you don't do it. But really, do it when you're setting up the vendors so you catch this before there's any problem, not after the fact when you're trying to put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. Okay, now let's talk about your HR practices related to vacations. Every organization should have a policy that anyone who has anything even remotely to do with your money, with your finances, so that basically means everybody in accounts payable, should be required to take 5 consecutive days vacation. And during those 5 consecutive days, somebody else does their job. And the theory is that within 5 days, if there's an ongoing fraud, it will unravel and you'll discover it. Now, what we see is that very few companies actually do this. And when I talk to people about it, you're like, why don't you do it? They said, well, we don't think it's necessary. Or, a problem about vacations is not getting people to take their vacation time, but people who want to take more than their adequate time for vacation. So, we get it. But you really do want to have a policy. The other thing that sometimes will happen, and I can't condemn people, by the way, for wanting to do this, but they may say, hey, you know what? I'm not going anyplace special this year. So instead of taking 5 consecutive days or 2 weeks off by itself, I'm going to take every Friday off in the summer or every Monday, whatever it is that they want. And, I can understand the allure of that, but it does not give you that internal control that you need related to vacation. So really make a part of your policies that everybody take this 5 consecutive days off. And, on top of the, fraud prevention internal control issues, it's a good HR policy. So you probably won't run into much trouble getting HR to agree to it. And by the way, when you do that, you need to monitor it on an ongoing basis to make sure this is happening, because otherwise what you're going to find is, you're going to come up to the end of the year and you're going to have, half your staff hasn't taken their 5 vacation days and they're going to want to take it over Christmas. And, that's usually not a good thing in accounts payable. So you not only have the policy, but monitor it and, monitor it on a regular basis and keep on top of people so you don't run into that situation either. Okay, used even less than the mandatory vacations is the job rotation issue. Now, what we say with job rotation, especially with your invoice processors, is that they should not stay in those jobs forever. So sometimes people will say, well, you know what? We've had people on the same account for 5 years and they get friendly with the vendor. And this works really well because when there is an issue, when we have a problem, we actually have the accounts payable processor call somebody at the vendor, the person that they deal with, and because they're such good friends, they get it worked out. And you know what? That's great. That's wonderful. But it doesn't trump the fact that, you know what, they're such good friends, they may figure out how to defraud the company and, you know, collude to do so. So even though there are some benefits for leaving people on the same accounts, there it's also trumped by the need for strong internal controls. And also, by moving people, you have backup. So you get a kind of a second benefit, okay? So before I conclude, I want to go back and talk one more time a little bit about the vacations, the vacation issue. Sometimes people will say, you know, Joe or Jane, they're so devoted to the company, they never even take their vacation time. And you know what? That may be somebody who is really devoted to their job, but it also may be someone who has an ongoing fraud. Now, of course, you don't want to tell them, hey, you've got to take 5 days off because, you know, we think you might be defrauding the company. Okay, that, boy, that'll backfire. But you can say, you know, it's an HR policy and we have to adhere to it. Okay, so mandatory vacations, 5 consecutive days at least, and job rotations where you have somebody who is dealing with somebody at your vendors, you know, on a regular basis. Now, one of the things that you may notice about all the things that I'm talking about today is that none of them cost anything, okay? So there is really no excuse for not integrating all these internal controls into your processes so that you can have, you know, a really strong framework and hopefully not have any fraud. Now, many companies will say things like our people are our most important asset. And I really do believe that. And hopefully, you know, your organization takes the same stance. But that doesn't mean that you won't occasionally get that one bad apple. So that doesn't mean that your controls should go out the window. You need to do the things that we've talked about today, and hopefully that will give your organization the protection that it needs. And again, nothing really costs any money, so no real good excuse for not doing it. Thank you for listening today to this AP Now podcast, and a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation, for making this podcast possible. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate the episode, review the episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine. It will alert you to new episodes, and it also contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and of course, future episodes. Thanks for your time. Hope to see you again soon.